This morning, we're going to continue our study on Jesus as we start singing Christmas carols at this time of year, and hopefully our minds maybe more go back to Christ. I mean, it's hard to say that. Our minds ought to always be going back to Christ, but at least in our worldly days, I mean, you see more about Jesus this time of year than you do other times of year. And so it's a good time for us to renew our thoughts and help us to reach out, maybe more at this time of year than other times. And so along those lines, we've been studying from the book of Mark, taking a look at the way that Mark presents Jesus to us. Because in many ways, I think the way that Mark presents Jesus to us has a special meaning today. As we talked about a few weeks back, Mark gives us more the point of view of maybe the Roman point of view. We believe that Mark wrote down Peter's sermons when Peter was in Rome. And so it's more of a flavor that maybe reaches us today a little more than maybe the Greek thought that we have in Matthew or in Luke. And so in Mark, we're going to be in chapter 4 today. If you remember from last week's lesson, we looked at the end of chapter 2 and chapter 3. And Jesus starts there to give us his teaching, or Mark does, before he's presented Jesus more as, this is what Jesus is doing, this is what Jesus did, now you make your decision on who Jesus is. Now he starts giving into the teaching, and we saw last week, Jesus was opposed to their traditions, especially those traditions that kept them from doing God's will in their lives. And he's going to go into that even more today in chapter 4, the things that keep us from God, that keep us from being the type of people that we need to be, to have the kind of purpose that Jesus wants for us to have in our lives. And we looked at that 2 weeks ago, the purpose that Jesus had in his life. And he came with a purpose and how he fulfilled that. We need to have purpose in our lives and make sure that that purpose is in harmony with God's will and his word. And that's the idea that we're going to develop more in chapter 4. The idea of being in harmony with God's word in our life, and the importance of that. Look over to chapter 4. In chapter 4, we're introduced more to the kingdom of God in a series of parables, which Jesus says the kingdom of God is like. Now, I don't know what you think about when we see the kingdom of God. We used to say, well, the kingdom of God meant the church. And it, in some ways it does. The church are definitely the people of the kingdom of God. But the term kingdom of God is probably best translated as the rule of God. And the rule of God is particular for us, the rule of God in our lives. But if you every time you see the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven, you can think about the rule of God is really what Jesus is talking about. And letting God rule in our hearts and in our lives, we are the people of God and we do make up his kingdom here on this earth, the church. Look at chapter 4 at the beginning. And Jesus again began to teach by the lake. The crowd had gathered around him was so large that he got into a boat and sat down in the lake. And while all the people were along the shore at the water's edge, he taught them many things by parables. And in his teaching he said, listen. Now that thought that he starts this parable with is listen. And he's going to repeat it a number of times and says, hear what I have to say. Carefully consider my words. Listen to what I'm saying, is what he brings out. And that thought of receiving God's word and listening to it flows through the whole chapter 4. He now introduces us to the parable of the sower. And you probably have heard this parable many times. The planter, the farmer goes out and he sows the word of God, the seed. And he throws some in it and it hits on the ground and it's immediately eaten up by the birds. Others falls into the, with the rocks and it comes up but doesn't have enough dirt there for its roots, and as soon as the sun comes up it dies out. And then others goes into the thorny ground and it comes up but the thorns choke it out. It doesn't have enough nutrients to have a lasting life. But other of the seed goes into good cultivated ground and it gives forth a great harvest. Now that's the parable that Jesus tells in the beginning of chapter 4. And after hearing it, you might think, I mean, these people might say, well, Jesus, that's a nice parable, but what does it say to me? And that's what he answers in the next section. Look at chapter 4, verse 9. Then Jesus said, he who has ears, let him hear. When he was alone and the others around him asked him about the parables, and he told them. The secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but those on the outside, everything is said in parables. Now, this is another idea that we're going to come back to today. The idea of being on the outside or the inside. And we have to decide, are we going to be on the outside or are we going to come into the inside? And throughout this day, Jesus is going to talk about being on the inside. Carefully consider how you hear. The idea is that you can hear if you want to. You can come to the inside if you want to, or you can stay on the outside. And then Jesus gives us a quote that we just read from Isaiah. And it's one of the more difficult quotes in the New Testament. Yet it's in each one of the Gospels and even in the book of Acts. We see the same quote. Listen to what Jesus says. The secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you. But those on the outside, everything is said in parables. They may be ever seeing but never perceiving. Ever hearing but never understanding. Otherwise, they may turn and be forgiven. Then Jesus said to them, don't you understand the parable? How will you understand any of the parables? The farmer sows the word. Some of the people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown to them. Others are like seed sown on rocky places. They hear the word and at once receive it with great joy. But since they have no root, they only last a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Now look at verse 18. Still others, like seed sown among the thorns, hear the word. But the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desire for other things come in and choke out the word, making it unfruitful. Others, like the seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop, 30, 60, even 100 times what was sown. And he said to them, do you bring a lamp and put it under a bowl or a bed? Instead, you put it on a stand. Forever, whatever is hidden must be disclosed, and whatever is concealed is meant to be brought out into the open. If anyone has ears, let him hear. You notice he begins and ends with that. He wants you to hear what he's saying. And so he gives this parable about the soils. And you can think about the different ones, the ones that fell on rocky places. They heard the word, but they didn't do anything with it. And the birds came and said, Satan comes and snatches it away, just like the birds eat the seed. Or the ones in rocky ground, they receive the word, but they don't do anything with it. Or the ones that the ones that represents those that amongst the thorns. They receive the word, it grows up in their lives, but that phrase, they allow the desire for other things to choke out the love of the word in their life. So many of us today in America would fall into that. With so many things around us that it's so easy to get tied up with the desire for other things and forget about our love for the word of God. Throughout Scripture, and Jesus says it here a number of times, he says, if you love the word, more will be given to you. But if you don't love, if you don't honor, if you don't respect God's plan for your life, even that which you have will be taken away. Now, the next little section, Jesus says, he brings us out the lamp, and we think about our lights being a light to the world. But that's not what he's talking about here. He's talking about the word being a lamp. He says, I didn't come to make this obscure. I came that people would know the gospel. He says, I didn't come like a lamp and you put it under a table. But the word of God is to be known by all people. And Jesus came to have that word known and to all people. This morning we're going to look at a couple of examples of those that heard the word of God, but maybe didn't accept it quite the way they should have. Look over to the book of Acts. We have three examples we're going to take a quick look at. And think about what kind of soil they really were, and you can find that they weren't very fertile for the Lord. And it gives us an example for us. The first we come upon is in chapter 24 of Acts. And if you go through the book of Acts, you know the story that Paul has a great missionary journeys. But in the latter part of the book of Acts, he goes back to Jerusalem, and he's arrested by the Jews. And then the Romans take over for him. And he gets sent to Caesarea, which was their capital at that time, to await trial. And in chapter 24, we have the first trial that he undergoes, and this by a man named Felix. One of the ideas that we have from Acts is we do get a good timeline. We know when Felix lived. Felix, in the history of the different historians, not just from the New Testament Bible, but from different historians, lived between 52, or ruled Judea, between 52 and 58 A.D. So we know what's taking place in chapter 24 of Acts is probably right around 58 A.D., around 30 years or so after Jesus went back to heaven, not quite that far. So you get a good idea of the time frame that this took place. And the man himself, Felix, is well documented in history. We know quite a bit about him. And you see some of his character today. If you look down in chapter 24, look at verse 24. Now, Paul's already come and they've had already one hearing. Now, a few days later, several days later, Felix came with his wife Drusilla, who was a Jewish. He sent for Paul and listened to him as he spoke about his faith in Christ Jesus. As Paul discoursed on righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come, Felix was afraid. And he said, "That's enough for now. You may leave. When I find it convenient, I will send for you." At the same time, he was hoping that Paul would offer him a bribe. So he sent for him frequently and talked with him. Felix heard the word. It actually sank in a little bit. He became afraid, so he actually listened to the word. But it wasn't what he wanted. What did Felix want? He wanted a bribe. He was after just money. And so he keeps talking to Paul, but Paul, of course, never gives him the bribe that he wants. And so Felix keeps Paul in prison, and then, as we go through, if you go through the history, actually Felix was relieved of his command because he did accept too many bribes, and his corruption was finally became known to Rome. And so they bring in a man named Festus. Now Festus ruled from about 58 through about 62 A.D. And we know a little bit, he was a little bit better than Felix as far as accepting bribes and stuff. And so when Paul gets there, Festus finds out a little bit about him, and he has a trial before Festus. And at this time, Agrippa comes for a visit. Now, this is all in chapter 26 of Acts, 25 and 26. King Agrippa comes, and Festus sort of shows him around. Now, Agrippa is the last of the great Herods. If you go through the New Testament, even from the birth of Christ on, you keep coming upon Herod. And there was actually seven Herods that ruled at different times and different places. Agrippa, that's mentioned here, is the last of the Herods. He actually was raised in Rome with Claudius, who later became Caesar, and Agrippa seemed to be very politically organized and connected. Here he's visiting through Judea, and so Festus, in order to get on his good side, invites him to listen to Paul. And so they actually have a forum, and Paul preaches to them. And his sermon is given to you in chapter 26 of the book of Acts. I'm not going to read through the whole sermon, but I want you to listen to how they received it. First, in verse 24 of chapter 26, at this point, Festus interrupted Paul's defense. "You are out of your mind, Paul," he shouted. "Your great learning has driven you insane." Now, the word insane sometimes is translated as raving mad. What's Festus saying? He says, "Paul, I can tell that you're very knowledgeable about all this, but what you're telling me seems to me to be insane. It's against everything I know. It doesn't go along with the world as I know it. I don't want to listen to this, Paul. You're just a lunatic." There's many people today that sort of look at Christianity sort of the same way as Festus did back then. Now look on down and we look at Agrippa. Look at verse 25. "I'm not insane, most excellent Festus," Paul replied. "What I'm saying is true and reasonable. The king is familiar with these things, and I can speak freely to him. I'm convinced that none of this has escaped his notice, because it was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, do you believe in the prophets? I know you do." Then Agrippa said to Paul, "Do you think in so short a time you can persuade me to be a Christian?" Now here's Agrippa. He knew the Jewish customs. If you go through the Herods, you know that the Herods were always very influential throughout Judea. And so Paul says, King Agrippa, you know what I'm talking about. You've heard most of this probably before. And Agrippa comes back, do you think in so short a time I will become a Christian? In other words, this doesn't fit my time frame, Paul. I got other things to do. I've heard people say almost the same kind of thing. So, well, when it's convenient, when my life is a little bit better spot, then I want to become a good, faithful Christian. But it's just not real convenient right now. There's too many other things happening. You know, I've got this going on and that, and I just don't have the time that I need to have. When it's convenient, when the time's right, then I'll become a faithful Christian. That's sort of what Agrippa says, isn't it? Now you think about these men, Felix and Festus and Agrippa. Each of them had the gospel presented to them by one of the greatest missionaries the world has ever known, the Apostle Paul himself. Felix, he just wanted a bride. Festus, it just sounded like madness to him. It just didn't fit the harmony that he wanted at all. And Agrippa, he just didn't have the right amount of time for it. Just didn't meet his schedule. Think about ourselves. How do we receive the Word of God? Do we really understand what God wants from us? Look over to 1 Corinthians. There's a passage there, too, that's maybe not the easiest to understand. But Paul talks about that we need to make sure that we're spiritual if we're going to understand the things of the Spirit. It's very much what Jesus is talking about, that we have the right kind of soil, that our hearts are right with God, that we're in harmony with His Word. Look over to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I'm just going to read a few of the verses here. It's a good chapter to go back and take a look at when you have time. Chapter 2, verse 6. We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature. Now there, already a little bit of warning. Are we on the inside or the outside? Are we mature or are we immature? Are we spiritual or are we worldly? Those are the contrasts you see in this section. No, we speak of God's secret wisdom, a wisdom that has been hidden and that God has destined for our glory before time began. Now look down to verse 14. The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolish to him. He cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual man makes judgment about all things, and he himself is not subject to any man's judgment. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And these verses I like for you to think about. How spiritual are we? To understand the things of the Word of God, we need to make sure we're in harmony with God. We saw that last week. We need to make sure that we're spiritual. If we're worldly, it's going to seem like to us, like just like to Festus. It's going to seem insane. It's not going to make any sense. We have to make sure we're in harmony with God, that we're spiritual. As Jesus says, that you're on the inside and not the outside. Look on down back to chapter 4 and listen to what Jesus says to us as individuals. Verse 24, he says, consider carefully what you hear. What Jesus is saying in these verses, you have the chance to hear and to understand. You have the chance to come from the outside to the inside. But you have to determine if you will or not. You can stay on the outside. You can stay as part of the world, and what I'm saying won't make any sense to you. Or you come to the inside, and you can understand what I'm saying. That's what Jesus is saying. Carefully consider how you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you even more. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. And he also said, this is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scattered the seed on the ground. Night and day, when he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain. First the stalk, then the head, and then the kernel of the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts a sickle to it because the harvest has come. Again he said, what shall we say the kingdom of God or the rule of God is like? Or what parable shall we use to describe it? It's like a mustard seed, which is the smallest seed you plant on the ground. Yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all the garden plants, with such big branches that the birds of the air can perch in its shade. Now these last two parables speak, I think, directly to us. We may not understand how God's Word works in us. Even like we don't understand how a plant grows. You plant a seed and it comes up and it grows. We may not understand how that happens, but it happens anyway. So too, if you put the Word of God in your life, it will grow. You may not understand how God can use you. You may not understand what purpose He has in mind for your life. You may not understand what you can truly be in His kingdom. But it will happen if you allow it to. If you cultivate that Word in your life, then He can make whatever He is going to make out of you. And you may not understand how it happens, but it will happen. Our God can use each one of us. And then He talks about how the kingdom itself will grow. And it will continue to grow. We may not even understand how that works. But you think about in the New Testament, here you had Jesus and 12 disciples and a few other people around. From that small group, within a few generations, the rule of God was going to extend over the entire Roman world. And even further. We may not understand how the kingdom will grow, but it will if we use it and cultivate the Word of God. It put it into our lives and become the type of people that God wants us to be. Throughout this section, Jesus brings out the idea that the door is open for you. You can be spiritual. You can come from the outside to the inside. You can listen and understand His words. Look over to Isaiah. This is back to the very original scripture reading we had. And listen to what Isaiah says. This is what Jesus quotes to us. And I think the words are just as important for us as they were for Isaiah when Isaiah spoke these words some 2,700 years ago. Or a few more than that, actually. Look at chapter 6 of Isaiah, beginning in verse 8. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Who shall I send? Who will go for us?" And I said, "Here am I, send me." And He said, "Go, tell the people, be ever hearing, but never understanding, ever seeing, but never perceiving. Make the heart of the people callous, make their ears dull, and close their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, turn and be healed." Or as Jesus says, "Turn and be forgiven." This morning, that's what's offered to you. You can see with your eyes if you use your eyes. You can hear if you choose to hear. You can understand if your heart is willing. And if you do see and hear and understand and turn to God, He will heal you. He will forgive your sins. He will make you what you ought to be. He will give you eternal life in His kingdom. The rule of God is open for all men. That's why Jesus came to this earth. That's why He died on the cross, to give us the opportunity to come to our Lord and our Savior. This morning, think about if you're on the outside or you're on the inside. If you're on the outside, you can come to the inside if you choose to. Jesus comes to all. The sower sowed his seed to all the ground. Much of it didn't use it. But they had the opportunity. The opportunity is given to all men. And Jesus tells us that the Word will change us. We may not understand how, but it will change you if you allow it to. If you allow God's Word to germinate in your life, just as we may not understand how a seed can grow into a great tree, but it does, so too God's Word can dwell in you and make you into the kind of person that God wants you to be. You may not understand how it will change you, but it will. God's Word is that powerful. And think about Isaiah. Because if you don't hear, if you don't listen, if you don't understand, then all that's promised to you is eternal darkness. Won't you come inside today? Accept Jesus as your Savior. Listen to His words to you. Put His words in your life and become what you can be. If you've never come to the inside, if you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior, being baptized into His death so that you can arise and walk in His life, why not do that today? Or if you have walked with Christ, but you've turned away and allow the desires for other things to choke out the Word in your life, why not come to Him today? If you have need to come in any way, won't you come as together and stand and sing?